WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. President Biden is praising the latest release of hostages held by Hamas. CBS's Linda Kenyon has the latest.
Among the 16 hostages in this latest release is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen. The president says he is deeply gratified that Leah Benin will be reunited with her three children and her father. But the president says he remains determined to secure the release of every person taken hostage by Hamas, including Leah's husband, Aviv. The president also thanked the Prime Minister of Israel and the leaders of Qatar and Egypt for their continued partnership and ongoing commitment to bring every hostage home and to get more aid into Gaza to help innocent civilians. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
At least one person is dead and seven other crew members are missing after a U.S. Air Force Osprey crashes off the coast of Japan during a routine training mission. The aircraft has been involved in a string of fatal crashes in recent years. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer is in Japan.
U.S. military and Japanese Coast Guard continue to comb that crash site. Meanwhile, the governor of Okinawa, the island where the main U.S. military base is here in Japan, has said he's going to ask the U.S. military to suspend all Osprey flights.
With her frail 99-year-old husband as a silent witness, Rosalind Carter was celebrated by her family and closest friends at her funeral in Plains, Georgia. Her grandson, Josh Carter.
She got him elected as a state senator, as the governor of Georgia, and finally as president of the United States.
Rosalind Carter was 96. After the release of a scathing ethics report, the House is set to vote on expelling Republican Congressman George Santos as soon as this week. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
I think the vote will be Friday. That's all I'm going to say about it.
If the resolution is successful, Congressman Santos would become the sixth lawmaker in House history to be expelled. A Florida county is trying something new with its 911 call system to speed up emergency response times. More from CBS News correspondent Peter King in Orlando.
When Volusia County residents make this call,
911, what is the emergency?
Law enforcement officers can now listen in and talk to the caller and hopefully avoid something getting lost in the translation.
The deputy hears the location, what the emergency is, the description of that person.
Sheriff Mike Chitwood says it should cut down response times when every second counts.
The one thing you're going to get right is the location.
Deputies like John Bernard won't get flooded with calls they can't respond to.
I set up my live 911 as a 3-mile radius, and it follows my car.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
An Indiana judge dismisses a lawsuit against TikTok that had accused the app of deceiving its users. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Oh, I think we're lost again.
Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Guys doing chores. How would that do on TikTok?
Sounds like you should be wearing like short shorts or something.
We're not going to exploit you in that way.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Three former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices advising Assembly Speaker Robin Voss did not violate the state's open meeting laws. That's the ruling from Dane County Judge Frank Remington, who also says American Oversight can keep seeking records from the panel that recommended against impeaching Justice Janet Protas Awicz. New research links emissions from coal-fired power plants to about 500,000 premature deaths in the United States over the past two decades. Karen Gallagher is with Clean Wisconsin.
A lot of wind and solar is being added to the electricity grid every day, which is really exciting to see in Wisconsin, across the Midwest, and it just needs to ramp up faster.
Gallagher's group is working for stricter emission standards in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks beat the Heat in Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks played fast and kept pace with the Heat and pulled away down the stretch, 131-124. Chris Middleton took over in the final period and put up 17 points, clinching the win, including two key shots down the stretch. Milwaukee now 12-5, headed to the in-season tournament in Las Vegas in early December. NFL, it's the Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs at Lambeau Field. Matt LaFleur talked about facing the Chiefs' veteran defense.
Ultimately, they have to go out there and
execute. And that's what our guys have been doing. But we also know you're only as good as your last game. And we got one of the best defenses in the league coming in here on Sunday Night Football. So it's going to be a great challenge for our guys. Haven't gone. A couple years ago, we went against the Chiefs at their place. And, I mean, they really shut us down. They do a really good job, apply a lot of pressure. They are a very physical unit.
It's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny for tomorrow and a high in the upper 30s. A mix of sun and clouds and mid-30s for Friday. Mostly cloudy Saturday, high mid-30s. Maybe a few flurries Saturday night. Cloudy and maybe some rain and snow shower Sunday. Right now it's 31.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show. Here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Some interesting economic data just released. Turns out, Commerce Department says the economy was actually a lot hotter than previously thought. Things were much better in the quarter prior. In fact, been upgraded to a gross domestic product increase of 5.2% annualized rate by the Commerce Department. And what they're saying. this is the period between July and September. They're saying, wow, that's a booming economy. And look, you know, the message machine on the right is everything's doom and gloom. Everything's horrible. The economy's in the tank. Because they want us to believe things are really bad. Now, understand, problems, absolutely. But this want and wish and hope and praying for recession and chaos that they're attempting to will onto us so far hasn't happened. And look, at some point, if they do enough, maybe we get there. But the thing that gets me is, I got to tell you, I'm in awe of the right-wing message machine. I'm in awe of their message discipline. I'm in awe of the fact that when they grab onto something, they stick to it. For instance, Virginia Fox, the congresswoman and the head of one of the chairs in the House, she said at a hearing about overtime pay, there's just a lot of people in this country that don't want to work and want somebody else to take care of them. That's not what this country is all about. Now, this hearing was literally about people working more than 40 hours a week. Never miss an opportunity to spew your propaganda. And they don't. This is the thing that I'm always amazed at. Because when they get onto something, they never let go. Facts be damned, reality be damned, anybody, you know, with any different be damned, no. And they stick to it. They stick to the message, no matter what. And they're good at it. Look, focus group tested, think tank approved. They come out with their narrative and they stick to it. Now remember, these folks, the Virginia Foxes of the world, they don't have policy fixes. They don't have, you know, any policy ideas. It's all about destroy and divide and conquer. That's what it's really about. And of course, repetition. Because how many times have we heard, nobody wants to work anymore? And yet, there are people going to work every day, which is weird since nobody wants to work. You have to give them credit, I guess, on a certain level. They create their narrative. They stick to it. And speaking of which, this is one of those things that caught my attention today. Judd Legum, who does an incredible Substack page. I'm a huge fan. We used to have him on the show all the time back when he was with Think Progress. He had a piece today on this woman who went to a Texas board meeting. And I remember the story. This woman, this 20-year-old, her name's Lana Burkhart, or Burkhart, I think. She testified in front of this school board meeting out of nowhere. Nobody knew who she was. She just showed up and claimed that when she was an 11-year-old girl, she bought a book from the Scholastic Book Fair. You know, because my wife used to run the Scholastic Book Fair in our local school or help run it. And you know, I'm a big fan of the whole program and ensuring kids get books and all that. But she claims when she was 11 that she read one of these Scholastic books. And because of that, she now suffers from a debilitating porn addiction. Oh, no. Evidently, there was a kiss in the book. There was a kiss, a single kiss depicted in this Scholastic book. She got banned, by the way. I mean, that was the point. But stuck to the narrative. You know, 20-year-old woman, you know, horrible porn addiction because she was 11, read this book. And nobody bothered to ask, you know, explain. Turns out, and this is where Judd Legum did a really great job of piecing this together. Turns out, her appearance at this place was promoted by a group called Sky Tree Book Fairs. You know where this is going. I'm sure you do. They are a newly formed group. They market themselves as, quote, an alternative to the sexually explicit content distributed in Scholastic Book Fairs. So evidently you're supposed to believe, and this is the narrative, you're supposed to believe the Scholastic Book Fair is all porn and all graphic and all bad. And as my wife would be the first to tell you, no. In fact, she's muttering that to herself right now. But this Sky Tree Book Fairs put this woman out, promoted. Oh, did I mention she works for them? Did I mention the fact that she's one of their employees? Now, remember, you know, they present themselves as this independent nonprofit only caring about the kids. And you find out, according to Judd Legum's reporting, that they were kind of slapdash put together in a really kind of a hurry way as an offshoot to something called Brave Books, which publishes, and you know where this is coming from, which publishes children's books by crazy right-wing pundits. Yeah. The Prager folks, this is their part of their shtick. And I'm not 100% sure Prager's in it, but the Prager types, this is it. The president of Sky Tree Book Fairs, recently an executive assistant at Brave Books. Gee, are we shocked? And the answer is no. And this is one of these moments where you go, understand how important the right-wing message machine is. Understand how pervasive their reach into our lives is. Even if you don't watch the F channel, even if you don't watch all of the crazy cable news outside of that, you're still getting these messages. Because you know what? A lot of your local news organizations reported on this story. These people are so well organized because they're well funded, really well funded. And what gets me is you have this woman, this 20-year-old, who had no problem going before a school board and admitting to a porn addiction, which I don't know if she has or if she doesn't. But it's curious that she works for the company that would benefit from the demise of Scholastic Book Fairs. Now, understand, I would bet the people who were ultimately behind this want book fairs completely done away with altogether. especially if they can't control all of the content in those kids' eyes. But this, to me, again, another one of those moments where, surprise, surprise, they are creating this world of chaos and outrage. Because you know that people saw this woman who looked very convincing and said, well, we can't have that with our children. Hey, they have Scholastic Book Fairs at my kid's school. We have to do something. There's porn in the Scholastic Book Fairs. And the reality is there's not. But that, the facts be damned. It's the narrative that's important. It's what you believe other than what they can prove. And I guess the question is, are you surprised? And the answer is no. You shouldn't be surprised, because this is the kind of stuff that the right does masterfully. This is the kind of stuff that corporatists do masterfully. This is the divide and conquer, to not only destroy this Scholastic Book Fair group, which, you know, again, they're the big players on the block. But this is about destroying public education as a whole. This is about getting people angry at public education. How dare you let those Scholastic Book Fairs in your school? How dare you promote reading? I don't want my children reading. I mean, I fear this is where we end up. Now you could go, Rick, you're just being a bit hyperbolic. This is an isolated incident. I'm not so sure. Because I look at these Maniac Moms for Misery groups, these Moms for Liberty groups, there's a lot of people getting paid somewhere. There's a lot of people making money off of this. And there's a lot of billionaire money being funneled into these AstroTurf groups. There's a lot of money into this stuff, because what the billionaires understand is, as long as we're continuing to fight over things, we're not fighting for good things. We're fighting over nonsense while they're robbing us blind. They understand, and I go back to something my grandfather said, and I'm not sure he really understood exactly how important that statement was, but he said, look, if a rich guy's going to take a buck out of his pocket to tell you don't need something, you better spend two to get it, because they understand return on investment. They didn't get to be rich by being stupid with their money. And when a Jeffrey Yaz spends millions of dollars to go after school boards and public education, you know on the back end, there's a massive payoff. Power, control, ultimately, our tax dollars. I want to hear your thoughts, though. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Are you surprised by the whole dog and pony show, by the bread and circus? And if you are, we should talk. Right back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
It's remarkable to me. I read a book and someone kissed in the book and now I have a porn addiction. I got to tell you, I don't know. I don't know if I should say this. As a young kid, we found other people's actual porn and don't have an addiction. So I got to wonder. Got to wonder. Let's go to the phones. Got Steve on line one from Chicago. Steve, how are you, man?
I'm fine, and you took the words right out of my mouth, because I don't know what this woman's age is. I don't know.
20.
Okay, 20. Okay, that makes my point very well. Because if this woman were in her mid-50s or older, I'd say, okay, there's an air of plausibility, even though I think it's absurd, because let's say you were coming of age in the 70s, the 80s, whatnot. Okay, if you were a young person, porn, actual porn, was pretty hard to get a hold of. But yeah, for someone her age, if she's addicted to porn, it's because of actual porn. You know, because if you're that age, that means that you can stream it day or night on six different devices. So this idea that, oh, wow, I read something, that's what got me hooked on porn, you know, so that was available in some school fair, you know, that managed to get by everybody else in terms of, you know, being pornography and nobody else noticing it. It was that. It wasn't the plethora of everything that's available online for young people that might have gotten her there. But obviously, none of this is true. You know, this is just, you know, somebody, a paid actor. And, you know, the old saying goes, you know, I mean, you have the story and then people buy into it. And even if somebody calls you out, nobody pays attention to the retraction. And though, you know, this woman would be called out, a lot of people will just never hear about it and just buy into this and then repeat it at cocktail parties and at the bar and at the water cooler as if it's true. And that's exactly what happens in society. I mean, you and I are old enough to remember, you know, in the wake of the invasion of Kuwait and the testimony that was offered up to the international community about children being
bayoneted,
bayoneted and snatched out of incubators, and so the Iraqis could take the equipment and repatriate it to Iraq. Oh, well, turns out that it was a government official's daughter. Not somebody who was working in the healthcare industry, not a nurse or doctor.
No, she was a candy striper.
That testimony.
She was a candy striper.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the cover. She was a teenage girl who was a candy striper. Turns out she was nowhere near Kuwait during that time.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, you get people, and the fact is that back then you actually had to do some work to try and uncover who people are. I mean, today, if there's somebody in the Western world who doesn't have a social media profile or doesn't, you know, exist in that realm, I mean, that's rare. So if you're 20 years old and you claim XYZ, yeah, somebody can uncover it pretty quickly, as you've managed to do and others. So, yeah, I mean, you know, again, people are willing to just buy into whatever their media outlet tells them is true because that they actually have faith in it. You know, if you're an avid Fox viewer, you believe to your core that Fox is actual news. You know, even in the evening, you know, the craziness that is the evening nonsense on Fox, that somehow is akin to what you see on ABC in terms of the nightly news. And the reality is that, you know, these people know that a lot of their viewership comes from individuals who don't access other information. They don't seek out multiple sources. They don't do any fact-checking. So, you know, you can tell them anything you want, and a percentage of them will just go with it. And they will vote that way because of it. They'll regurgitate it to their friends. And, you know, I mean, that's just the reality of the world in which we live. We live in these echo chambers, and don't get me wrong, there are plenty of us on the left who live in our share of echo chambers as well, who regurgitate some nonsense. But, you know, it's nothing akin to what you see on the right. And unfortunately, you know, we've got to get people to listen. And I'm glad that you have people such as Hunter Biden and others who are saying, you know what, okay, I'm going to call their bluff. This nonsense that they're advocating, we all know it's nonsense. We all know it's BS. But a significant number of the voting populace believes it. Okay, fine. Let's have the damn hearings. Let's talk about what you're claiming, and let's see the evidence.
Yep.
And let's let the American people see it. Oh, wait, no, okay, well, we want to do that? Well, no, actually, we don't really want to do it in public. Oh, I wonder why.
I wonder why. Good stuff, Steve. Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Take care.
I got an email from Barbara who says, I read Lady Chatterley's Lover in high school. I'm not addicted to porn. Again, but Lady Chatterley's Lover was written in 1928. Again, this is on the ban list, though. Understand, they want to ban that, too. So maybe you should read it twice. There you go. Let's go to Alice on line two. I'm sure Alice has got something on the Scholastic book front. Alice, how are you?
I am annoyed. The woman is a liar. When I graduated from high school in 1978, and I agree with Carol, we had the Scholastic books, and I bought them. I still have them. There wasn't any porn, and I started buying books when I was 8 years old. And my mother, for being a diehard Baptist, and my uncle who brainwashed her, who was a freaking Billy Graham convert, she never monitored my books. And so let me tell you what, I am about sick and tired and fed up with these right-wingers that we got to read what they say, raise our kids their way. Our kids can only read what they want to read. And, you know, we just have to live our whole life. And honest to God, I wish one of these plagues from Egypt would come down and wipe out the whole mess of them.
Because
they're about on my last nerve.
Okay, Alice, I think we've gone too far here. I appreciate
it. Have a good evening.
Thank you so much. The reality is you know what this was about. This was about, you know, trying to, one, push the narrative that there are all these banned books and get people all lathered up and angry. And here's the great thing. The majority of people look at their librarians, look at their school librarians in a very positive light. Even with all of the attacks by the right-wing money machine, even with all of these made-up narratives, people are still looking to their school librarians as someone with a very positive eye. That's a good thing. But understand, these attacks, they're not going to stop. These people will not stop because they're, like I said, well-funded. There's a lot in this for them. Outside of the power and control, it's a cash motive. So, I don't expect it to stop anytime soon. Lady Chatterley, I didn't read it. But I think every girl I knew in high school did. And I'm not going to say what I'm thinking. No, I wish they had a porn addiction back then. But no such thing. Elon Musk back in the news. You may have seen that he's been pushing the Pizzagate thing again. Wildly debunked, in fact, in every way, shape, and form, debunked. But hey, again, you know, it's that narrative, sticking to the message. We believe. Evidently, he's been pushing it. So in response to people going, you're pushing debunked conspiracies, Elon, there are a number of businesses, the Washington Post being one of them, who are saying, well, we're going to put a pause on our advertising on X, or what formerly known as Twitter. And I'm in this spot where I go, I got to tell you, I am so tired of these companies going, we're going to pause our advertising on this. No, you just leave. You know, it's like when Twitter said, you know, the blue check mark, or you're going to have to pay for it. We believe in free speech, but you're going to have to pay for the blue check mark. And, you know, we had one, you know, for years as part of the process that you had to go through to get the check mark. And then to keep it, you had to adhere to a certain set of guidelines and values and all this stuff. And we did that. As soon as Musk came in, did away with that. And I said, I am never paying for this. And our impressions went from, you know, something like, you know, 60 million a year down to, you know, I think like a million and a half. And I said, look, I'm never going back. I am never going to give Elon Musk, I'm never going to give a billionaire money. I'm just not going to do it. And these corporations were trying to be brave. They're trying to pretend like they're standing up to him. They do this big announcement. Hey, we're going to put a pause on until next week. And it's just ridiculous. Now, Elon Musk was asked about these businesses doing this. And of course, Musk being Musk and the attitude that he thinks people want to hear, basically just said, you know, go blank yourself. And you know, fairly emphatically. And he said, look, if someone's going to try and blackmail me with advertising, blackmail me with money, go blank yourself. And, you know, went on to this whole thing of, you know, people are going to see who brings this company down. And I'm going, you bought it for $44 billion. It's now worth about $5 billion. You've done that on your own. And, oh, by the way, the idea of promoting Pizzagate again, really? That there's a child porn ring in the basement of a pizza parlor in D.C. that doesn't have a basement? Think of a better one, because there are better conspiracies out there. There are better ones to grab hold of. You've got a lot of money. You can have someone dream something up. Stick with that. But they're saying that these boycotts, if you will, like the Times, for instance, could cost him about $75 million in revenue by the end of the year. And good. Again, I still believe he bought Twitter solely to destroy it. And hey, maybe he can buy.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. In the latest exchange, Hamas releases 16 more hostages and Israel frees 30 Palestinian prisoners. Among those released, Liat Benin, who holds dual U.S. and Israeli citizenship. Her father, Yehuda, tells CBS News.
Her husband, Aviv, is still captured in Gaza.
Underway is an attempt to extend the truce for a second time. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
We just saw the motorcade of Secretary of State Antony Blinken arrive here in Tel Aviv as part of those efforts, a part of those negotiations. We know that the director of the CIA, the U.S. Special Envoy for Hostage Affairs are all in the region.
Israeli government advisor Mark Regev says Israel is willing to extend the pause under one condition.
We should be receiving a list later tonight, possibly in the early hours of the morning, which will say who is to be released tomorrow. And that means we can know that this process of the pause is bringing back our people and it can continue.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Universities of Wisconsin privately suggested that chancellors eliminate liberal arts programs at low-income campuses. That's according to emails obtained by the Daily Cardinal student newspaper at UW-Madison. On September 1st, Jay Rothman told chancellors it would be part of a long-term path to stabilize the UW system's finances. A UW spokesperson says Rothman values liberal arts education. Quick Trip is recalling some fruit that may be contaminated with salmonella. The Wisconsin company and the Food and Drug Administration say the recall is for 3 pre-cup, fruit cup, and tray products. The products use true fresh cantaloupe, which have the potential for salmonella contamination. The fruit cups and trays were also on the shelves at Quickstar, Stop and Go, and Tobacco Outlet Plus stores. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 20s. Sunny for tomorrow and a high in the upper 30s. A mix of sun and clouds and mid-30s for Friday. Mostly cloudy Saturday, high mid-30s. Maybe a few flurries Saturday night. Cloudy and maybe some rain and snow showers Sunday. Right now it's 33.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5 The Tap.
Aboard Blue for the first time in years. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help push back against right-wing politicizers of your school district, contact campaignsharedfuture.org.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So my congressman, Scott Pardon Me Perry, chair of the House Freedom Caucus. Evidently, he has come out and said that he's in favor of supporting a $1.59 trillion spending, top-line spending limit. And if I'm not mistaken, that is the level that was agreed to by former Speaker Kevin McCarthy and Joe Biden. So it seems that the rebellion, the revolution, whatever went on in the House for the last couple of weeks that ousted McCarthy and caused a bunch of chaos and made the Republicans look, you know, as ununified as possible, turns out, we're going to surrender anyway. Oh, the fun. Here to share some thoughts on that and all of the crazy fun and wonderful things going on in our House of Representatives. I've asked our good friend Joe Walsh to come talk with us. Joe's a former congressman from Illinois, 2020 presidential candidate and host of the fabulous White Flag with Joe Walsh podcast. You get that wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Joe, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick Smith, I love you, brother.
I appreciate that. What do you make of this? With Scott, pardon me, Perry, hopefully soon to be my former congressman, but him saying, you know, we'll take what they got before.
Democrats will take over the House in January of 2025, Rick, and to a large degree because of what Matt Gaetz did. You think about the last 3 to 4 months, they got rid of McCarthy. They brought in a new speaker after a long time who pretty much is advancing everything McCarthy advanced. It was a personal vendetta by Matt Gaetz.
Yep.
One hurt. Now, McCarthy gave him that gun with which to use. Matt Gaetz used it, and it really messed up the House Republicans.
And good. But now you've got this new House Speaker, Mike Johnson, who I am not thrilled with. I actually fear him much more than McCarthy or virtually anybody else because he seems like a reasonable guy. He seems like a pleasant guy. But when you dig down, I fear theocrat. I fear lots of that stuff. But he's come out keeping to the Republican line that the impeachments of Donald Trump were brazenly political and meritless. But what they're doing for Joe Biden is just the opposite because, and this is the laughable part, the Republican Party stands for the rule of law, Joe. Stands on the rule of law.
So I said this today, Rick. Mike Johnson, the new speaker, doesn't miss an opportunity to tell the world what a Christian he is, that he is a Christian. When Mike Johnson said that today about Donald Trump was impeached unfairly and we're only going after Biden for the facts and the Republican Party is the party of the rule of law, Rick Smith, I'm telling you, Mike Johnson knew he wasn't telling the truth. He knew he was lying.
Isn't there a thou shall not in there somewhere?
I know you and I are having fun with this, but I'm a Christian guy. I don't say that much. But he knew he was lying, and yet he's a faithful Christian. I don't know how you reconcile that.
Is it possible that he just truly believes it to his, he holds it sincerely. So therefore, it's not a thou shall not.
Some do. Some of the Republicans do believe that crap, Rick. I know people near Mike Johnson. He doesn't. He's saying it for Trump's benefit.
Yeah.
He does not believe it.
Now, I want them to impeach Biden. I want them to go down this path. And look, I look at former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who said, this is a bad idea. I probably shouldn't do this because it's going to go nowhere in the Senate and it's going to be a political disaster. And that's exactly what I think it should be. I love the fact that Hunter Biden has come out and said, look, I'll be more than happy to come testify in an open hearing.
Hey, you and I talked about this before Republicans took over. They promised that if we put them in power, it would be 2 years of investigations, impeachment, and chaos. They've delivered. Now, the crazy thing is, Kevin McCarthy was going to give them impeachment. He just said, don't shut down the government. Let's take care of that business. We'll throw the red meat impeachment at everybody at their base. Matt Gaetz really screwed that up.
Yeah.
Republicans really hurt themselves this fall, big time.
No, look, if they played their cards right, they could have really they could have really done some damage to Biden. But, you know, the more that they try and, like yesterday, for instance, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because I remember them saying, you know, we're going to be transparent and, you know, we're going to bring them in and we're going to basically flog these people in open court. And then to have the entire right-wing media structure go, I can't believe that he wants to do this and it should be behind closed doors. We don't want to see any of that. I mean, it was really crazy to me on how the right wing was all on the same message of promoting a closed door hearing. And I'm going, I thought media people wanted things out in public. I thought you wanted that so you could take the video and use it however the heck you wanted. What happened?
He called their bluff, man.
Yes.
Hey, brother, Hunter Biden called their bluff. I'm no fan of Hunter Biden.
No, I don't have any opinion of him.
Well, I do.
I don't know the man. If he's done some wrong things, he should be held accountable. There's no question about that. But I don't know the man to say one thing or another.
No, but you and I know enough that, like Jared Kushner and plenty of other people, all Hunter Biden has done is use the Biden name to enrich himself, especially from foreign sources. That's BS. It's wrong. But Hunter Biden's not the president of the United States.
Right.
They don't have the goods on Joe Biden. And Hunter Biden yesterday saying, okay, I'll come. I'll testify under oath, in public, sunshine, all of it. They panicked. He called their bluff. They don't have the goods on Joe Biden, so they can't put Hunter Biden in public.
And I find it interesting that every once in a while you'll see like Maria Bartiromo ask a question and a congresswoman will have to go, well, right now, no. We don't really have anything, but you know, if we go on this fishing expedition, you know, we might find something.
Oh my God, Rick. I was thinking about her today, Marie Bartiromo. 8, 9, 10 years ago, when I was in Congress, I'd go on her show a lot.
Yeah.
And we'd talk about tax policy and tax and economic policy and healthcare policy. Look at how she, like so many on the right, in the media, have just fallen down this Trump conspiracy rabbit hole. She is a Looney Tune now. I mean, a Looney Tune.
Yeah, I don't know if it's in the water or if it's in the paycheck.
It's in the paycheck.
Okay.
if you don't do that, you end up like me and you're no longer on Fox News. It's in the paycheck.
Yeah, it's in the paycheck. You brought up healthcare, and I'm sure you've noticed. You know, Trump went on a 24-hour whatever that was on Truth Social, and one of those things was doubling down on we're gonna repeal Obamacare. And again, you've got to throw that out, the red meat out to the base, and I get this, it's about lathering them up, but the fact that he's going to claim that he has a much better healthcare solution, you had four years, buddy.
That ship sailed. He doesn't understand healthcare policy. That's You know, it's funny, Rick, that red meat is no longer even red meat for the Republican Party base. I mean, I've got real problems still with Obamacare. Our health care policy in this country is all mucked up. But the Republican Party base is no longer fired up about, repealing Obamacare. That like came out of left field, made no sense.
Yeah, but look, he's in trouble. You know, it's like I say all the time. You know, a drowning man is gonna grab an anchor
Wait. What do you mean he's in trouble? He's gonna be the nominee.
Oh no, he's gonna be no question. He's gonna be the nominee. But I don't know if you've been noticing all the things I don't know if you've noticed his calendar is very full, and the possibilities of him, you know, losing lots of money and potentially, you know, getting an orange jumpsuit. I gotta think that weighs on the guy.
I don't, because hey, Rick, he's not like you and me. He's got a magic, his kryptonite, his secret sauce is he has no shame. None of this weighs on him. I mean it. None of it does. He doesn't care. He doesn't believe he's done wrong. He's not a normal human being in that regard. And all of his legal issues are really his campaign.
Yeah.
And it's bonding people to him.
I still think it's doing so, because I look at these rants that he goes on. These are the rants of an unhinged person, I think. But here is the thing, you know, he vowed, you know, it was, what was it, 11 o'clock at night. He said the government should come down on MSNBC, make them pay, and then he said if he becomes president, he's going to investigate Comcast. They're going to go after Comcast.
Rick, wasn't he an unhinged SOB 4 years ago?
Truth.
Way before all of this legal crap.
Yeah.
It's now, to your point, though, he's 78 years old. And, he's kind of losing his marbles a little bit.
No, I've been watching some of the speeches, and he does. He's showing the age.
So he's sloppy.
That brings us to the election then. I mean, next year, you know, I have this great fear that Trump is elected in 2024. I hope I'm wrong. I pray I'm wrong. But I just have this great fear that, you know, with all of the division that you're seeing coming out of the Middle East, all of the stuff, you know, I got fears.
You should.
I got fears.
And God love you. And I wish everybody left of center across the spectrum, I wish they were afraid. And I wish they understood how easily he could be reelected. I think right now, Rick, he's better than a 50-50 chance of being reelected. I don't think the Democrats understand that. You, on top of this, and you and I may disagree on the Middle East, I'm hugely pro-Israel. I love the fact that Biden's been standing by Israel. This issue is hurting him with his Democratic coalition.
Oh, it's killing him.
And I'm telling you, you know that better than I do. This is a issue that divides his coalition. That's never good.
No, it's not good. And I want to know who's funding this whole pro-Palestine movement. I think the things that are going on there are horrible on all sides of the equation. But the a-hole in this equation is Hamas, and I don't know why we're not looking at them. Look, I don't want Palestinian children killed. I don't want Israeli children killed. But when you've got a group saying, you know, until the end of time, we're going to continue this, I don't know how you can support that in any way, shape, or form.
So most Americans are pro-Israel, pro-Palestinian people, anti-Hamas. The problem is, when you look at most Democrats, they're pro-Palestinian people, they're indifferent or antagonistic toward Israel, and they don't have the guts to call out Hamas. And we see this in these protests all over the country, Rick. This is hurting Biden.
No, it is. Absolutely. And I thought it was disgraceful. And I said it yesterday because I've stayed away from this issue for the most part. But I thought it was absolutely disgraceful.
Oh, yeah.
That they, I'm sure you know where I'm going.
I know what you're going to say. Say it.
The fact that they protested at Rosalynn Carter's funeral. The fact that Westboro Baptist Church and those cretins were trending. And I don't even think they were there. But that to me was just... pale too far, especially the Carters, who have always been supportive. That it just shows an ignorance.
Rick, tonight they're protesting and getting violent and attacking New York City cops at the damn Christmas tree lighting in Rockefeller Plaza. I mean, they are not winning hearts and minds, and this is not making Democrats look good.
So here's the thing, and I'm glad you said that, because this is where there's a part of me that goes, when the extreme right and the extreme left are to their further, they do eventually come together. I want to know who's funding this. That's what I keep coming back to. And for what aims? How did this explode like this? Because this doesn't just happen organically. I mean, there's got to be some organizing that went behind this and some moneyed interests.
I actually hadn't thought of that, Rick. Maybe, but to counter that, I'll say October 7th changed everything. It's the closest I've seen to 9/11. It's consumed our news. It's consumed me I think a lot of this is organic on both sides. It was a really big thing, but I hadn't thought about who's behind it financially.
Yeah, again, you know, I see these groups that this stuff pop up. I immediately go to, where's the money coming from? Follow, again, you know, to whose benefit, and follow the money.
One other point, Rick. Nobody hits my former party harder than I do. It's become an authoritarian embracing cult. But wake up. The Democrats have a problem. On their far left, there is huge anti-Semitism on their far left, and there is huge hatred toward Israel. This is not where most Americans are. This is going to, again, hurt Democratic candidates next year.
Now, again, this is why I fear that Trump will be reelected, and you know, all of the things that I think Biden has done well, all of the things on the labor front, all of the things on the investments, I fear, you know, Trump just wipes all that stuff out and we end up in a worse off space. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show here with the former Illinois Congressman Joe Walsh, host of the White Flag with Joe Walsh podcast. You can find that wherever you find your favorite podcasts. One of my favorites out there. I got to go back to the Trump campaign. Because I think it was Vivek Ramaswamy's guy just left the campaign with him and headed over to Trump. You now see the Home Depot billionaire saying that he's likely to fund Trump. It seems like, you know, any of the resistance that you may have been a part of, not working.
Gone. And to me, Rick, this has been the biggest non-story of the past year and a half. This has never been a race. So many people have wanted to make the Republican race for the nomination a race, and yeah, it's not. And you and I talked about it at the beginning. Nobody who got into this race really was ever trying to beat Trump. They were always just trying to be the alternative in case Trump had a heart attack or ended up in jail. It's never been a race. He owns the party.
But here's the thing. You said there a second ago, if he ends up in jail, that they were running. This Home Depot billionaire, yeah, it doesn't matter if he gets convicted. Doesn't matter if he's convicted of any crimes, still going to fund him.
Well, I agree with that. If Trump's convicted, he's still the man. But Rick, and this won't happen before the election, if he's put behind bars, I think only that might impact him. But no, a conviction won't hurt him because, Rick, he'll just appeal it anyways.
Yeah. No, he's not. Anybody who thinks he's going to be in pinstripes and a guest of the state by election time.
I got
bridges. I got bridges.
Rick, and again, I'll tell you, and I'm so glad you said that you're afraid. You've got a fear that he's going to get reelected. Damn it, I don't think most Democrats and people in the middle get that yet. Biden is hugely unpopular. I don't think it's fair. I think a lot of it, Rick, is his fault because he can no longer use the bully pulpit and communicate.
No, he can't deliver the punchline. No, and I've said that for a very long time. He can't use the punchline. He can't deliver the line. And that's, I love the policies. I love the guy. Just can't deliver the punchline. But here, you talked about fear, and I swear I want to wrap this up. Look, you know, the fact that Trump is running on a campaign of retribution, on a campaign of payback, talking about investigating Comcast because he doesn't like what MSNBC says. You know, as someone who sits in a chair like I do and does the work and the work that you do, this to me is troublesome. That you and I, well, we could be roomies in a cell together.
He's going to go after his enemies. He's going to use the government to go after his enemies. That is anathema to America. But Rick, the sad thing is one of our two major political parties has become an authoritarian embracing cult.
Yeah.
They want this. That's the scarier thing. We've only got two parties. One of our parties has given up on democracy. They want a freaking dictator to be president.
And not even a benevolent one. But Joe, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff. I look forward to talking to you again real soon. Thanks so much, man.
I love you, Rick Smith. I love you.
All right. Joe Walsh, host of the White Flag with Joe Walsh podcast. Make sure you check that out. Gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 2012. That was the day that more than 100 fast food workers in New York City walked off the job. They held a one-day strike for better wages and the right to form a union. It was the biggest fast food workers' strike up until that time. The movement soon grew to be much, much bigger. Their demand was simple and memorable: a $15 an hour minimum wage. The slogan became the Fight for 15 and a Union. The campaign found an ally in SEIU, the Service Employees International Union. By August of 2013, the movement held a national strike against low pay day of action. Fast food workers and their supporters held demonstrations in 60 cities. Today, the movement has spread to 300 cities and beyond the United States. While protesters have gathered at many fast food chains, McDonald's has become a focus of the campaign. Protesters have held annual one-day demonstrations at McDonald's headquarters just outside of Chicago. The campaign has seen victories. Both New York and California have passed a $15 an hour minimum wage law. So has the city of Seattle. Although it's a national and even international movement, it is also a grassroots effort. In each city, different local groups are involved. In Kansas City, fast food women workers have formed the Fannie Lou Hamer Women's Committee. They named their group after the civil rights champion. They take inspiration from her famous quote that she was sick and tired of being sick and tired. For many in the Fight for 15 movement, this sums up their involvement. It is a movement for the respect and dignity of workers and the right to earn a living wage. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You know, I agree with Joe Walsh. And I said this from the beginning, why we never paid any attention to the Republican debates, because they were never going to, you're not going to dethrone Trump. And I didn't think it was possible, and I don't think I wanted it. I think that we as a country, the only way we're going to get through this is if he's defeated soundly at the ballot box. But here again, the sad reality is things aren't looking great. And you've got a lot of groups and a lot of moneyed interests now falling into line. And I look at this Home Depot co-founder, Republican mega donor Bernie Marcus, who said, "Look, I'm gonna give Trump money. Yeah, even if he's convicted, because he says that Trump's a fixer, and it would be beneficial to the U.S. economy." When he says U.S. economy, he means him. It'd be beneficial to him, like the tax bill. And this, again, this comes back to where we are as a country. The moneyed interests, they're weighing in. And they're weighing in on, we don't want Biden. The reason Biden's not all that popular is because people don't know what he's done. And Joe's right. He has not. And the administration hasn't. They haven't even sent surrogates out enough. That's actually not right. They have sent surrogates out. And do you know what kind of coverage they get? Do you know what kind of platform that they have? They get a couple minutes on the evening news. They get a couple minutes here or there. There's nothing like the F channel. There's nothing like the right-wing echo chamber on the left. There's not. There is no platform to build from, to get your message out. I was having this conversation with a friend today about, Democrats are terrible at messaging. No, they're not terrible at messaging. They've got a good message. We're going to make workers' lives better. We're going to pursue policies, actual policies, that are going to do good things, that are going to invest in our country, that are going to be smart and targeted, and they're going to lift people up. Problem is they don't have a microphone, a megaphone. They don't have the platform to say, hey, look at what we're doing. Because they never built it. The left never invested in it. The right, really smart. Really smart and invested in enormous platforms that their people get to come and spew nonsense and lies and narrative constantly. Focus group tested, think tank approved. This is what they do, and they do it masterfully, better than anyone. Reality, Republicans shouldn't even be a party at this moment. They're that bad. Their policies have been that horribly destructive for working people. And yet, somehow, through decades of repetition, through decades of time and repetition, what's happened? It's almost like Stockholm Syndrome for working people. Because now you're buying it. It's scary stuff. Gonna take a quick break.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W22 80 P. Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.